This is a new live son of a bitch.
Bull frickin' horse shit.
I hate to go all technical on you, but all hands on deck, swirly thing alert.
Attention.
Listen, you motherfuckers.
Buckle up, pedal heads.
You're experiencing the Lotus Effect with Phoenix and Phone Boy.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for him.
You are my podcast. My only podcast. So if you fucking take my podcast away, I'm going to shove my foot so far up your ass.
It is out of sheer morbid curiosity I'm allowing this freak show to continue.
How do you fix that, though?
Take a big step back and literally
suck my dick.
Are you interested? I know you are, because it's fuck or walk.
You're shitting me.
Have you made your decision for Christ?
To tell you the truth, I don't give a shit.
Well, you know who else doesn't give a shit?
Phoenix and Phone Boy?
Ah, not them again!
Oh, they're horrible.
I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Right.
Right, yeah. Like, you believe that horse shit. But you keep coming back for it every week after week. Welcome to episode 199er of The Lotus Effect, which we provisionally titled something that occurred last night. Too many keyboards. Yeah, we were. Anyway, if you see how this is set up in here, yeah, there's more keyboards than people, and sometimes we get a little confused in here. And you know what? But I have to say, where am I? Yeah, there we go. Because I have to make sure I hit the right button here. Because as you probably have figured out by now, although I haven't done a mute button issue yet, so give me a few minutes. I probably will.
Remind them, though, that the show's made up and the content really doesn't matter.
Yeah, well, yeah. You're coming here for whatever the fuck this is. Anyway, I'm Phone Boy.
There is no weapon as powerful as that of an idea whose time has come.
And there's been some, yeah, we've got some ideas to come, that's for sure. Yeah.
Yes, we do. And alongside you, as your faithful mate and best friend, I, of course, am Phoenix. And we are waging war against the bullshit out there, the wokeness, the fakeness of the food, the shillery of the pharma industry, et cetera, et cetera. E pluribus unum, you know what we're about here if you've been listening. But if you haven't, welcome. And welcome to all of our Apple Podcast and Spotify listeners.
Yeah, all the listeners. By the way, I actually, so Cotton Gin, we love Cotton Gin, by the way, major dude. He's working on something. He got a little graph now of how many listeners. And when I saw how many, I freaked out. I really freaked out.
What is this, a freak out?
This is kind of strange.
This is terrific.
I think I'm going to be sick.
Not a speck of light is showing, so the danger must be growing. Are the fires of hell a-glowing? Is the grisly reaper mowing? Yes! The danger must be growing, for the rowers keep on rowing, and they're certainly not showing any signs that they are slowing!
We're there.
I just had an orgasm.
The guy is jizzing all over himself.
I'm freaking out, man.
You are freaking out, man.
Well, yeah, we have been freaking out behind the mic, in front of the mic. But you know what?
Yeah, we freak out in front of the mic several times. We call it 2.5 bends, the Lotus Effect.
Exactly. We had a great 2.5 bends last night.
Oh, it was so good.
Yeah, 2.5bends.com, if you haven't listened to it, put that in your... I think it was about a 2.5 hour podcast. It was a...
2.5 bends went 2.5 hours. You have to love it.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, we've done all of that. And I think it's... and honestly, you know, the Lotus... Well, yes, it affects people differently at different times. And there's different ways. And we'd love to know how the Lotus is currently affecting you. So tell us about it.
I got mail. Yay.
I got you a dollar.
Yeah. This is that time of the show where we talk about the things that, or we talk about the value that we talk about value for value. We talk about, the return on investment and all of that. And it's called, that's what we do here. And we talk about time, talent, and treasure. As part of the value for value model, we still believe in that, and it's good value. It's good for life, by the way. And if you can send us your treasure, although we're not really in about the treasures, so it's cool if you don't want to do it. But if you do want to do it, you can go to lotuseffect.show. There's a green We Like Money button. There's the Cash App. You can do it a dollar sign the Lotus Effect 33. We also have our merch store at lotuseffect.shop, where you can buy our crap that's been smeared with our brand feces. Now, you can also do a one-time or recurring donation via the site if you'd like to. So we didn't get any money this week. That's cool. We understand, right? Things are still pretty fucked up, you know?
But we did get a lot of value from the people who have been playing along, participating, et cetera, in this shared fever dream that we have. We've had a lot of great interactions in our chat and... Even on this here platform, that massive dong that we talk about, we've been up to absolutely no good on that sumbitch this week.
All right, we'll talk about that in a second here, but that is one of the ways you can interact. But that is honestly what we want. You know, where we get the value is sending back the ack, right? Let us know you're listening, right? Interact with us in some way, shape, or form, right? And here's how we can. It doesn't even take that long, but first of all, like. If you haven't done this already, if you use some sort of a podcast app, you can do that, right? You can find us in Apple Podcasts and Spotify. In fact, you're an Apple Podcast means pretty much any other podcast app should be able to find it. Or if you're, you know, on a curmudgeon-y like Sir Bemrose, yeah, there's an RSS feed, right? Or you can just go to the website and listen to it. But you know what? The massive dong that we're talking about is, of course...
Mastodon!
Yeah, so you can reach out to us on your massive dong. I am phoneboy at lotuseffect.social. Phoenix here is PHEONIX at lotuseffect.social. Sorry. Both of those are lotuseffect.social. I think you can figure that out. Now, if you are an old school snail mail person, you can send an email to idontgiveafuck@lotuseffect.show, and I can assure you Phoenix actually receives all of those letters and gives them the care and attention that they deserve.
Absolutely, but that's not snail mail, doll. Snail mail's physical media, baby.
Yeah.
It's the shit we talk about keeping the uniformed member of the federal government, which, the government shut down, so... It's a goddamn good thing we're still getting mail.
That's right. you know, the other thing you can do, too, is join us in the chat like Cotton Gin and Sir Bemrose and Weirdo and Mama's in there. I think Poem 435 might be in there as well, or she'll be later, I guess. Whatever the case is.
Yeah,
right?
she's probably going to be in for Studio 33 because she's doing some awesome stuff with her church. They're doing pumpkins.
Nice.
So if you are anywhere around about... Western Georgia,
yeah.
I think, is around about where she lives.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's very, you yeah, know. It's, yeah, it's, it, yeah, the, you're not too far from anyway.
Alacrackerbama. Yeah, I'll say it out loud.
Ding, 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 ding. Anyway.
I can't believe Weirdo totally ISO'd me doing that.
Yeah, that's fucking amazing. Yes. So that's one of the, but that's one of the things that happens in the chat, right? So let's talk about the chat for a second. If you come to our stream at any point in time, there's always, hopefully, there's going to be music playing. If you start hearing clips over and over, then yeah, I need to. Go jiggle
contact one of us if that happens because we need to go smack
we need
stream.
To go smack it yeah so but join us in the chat when we're here, which is during Rideshare Radio or 2.5 bends, because we do 2.5 bends every other Friday at 9 p.m Eastern, 8 Central, or Rideshare Radio's music request, right? 2.5 bends is, yeah, it's the tech show that we do with Sir Bemrose, and we also do of course this show, which is the Lotus Effect, and then we follow it by our music request show Studio 33, right? So we start streaming just a little bit before this, but 5 p.m. Eastern, 4 Central, and Studio 33 kind of goes as long as it goes. So if you want to get in on the chat, it's IRC for those who know what that is. But if you don't know what IRC is, you can go to lotuseffect.chat, and there's things that you can there's some information there that will help you get connected to our chat, including just a couple of like click here, you know. It's very
user friendly.
Exactly. But you can also, another way you can sort of send back the ACK is to give us a call at 253-237-3321.
One ringy dingy. Two ringy dingy.
Dell Computers, this is Chip.
I'm sorry, sir, but that line is boozy.
Boozy? Yeah. Well, we know.
Not as boozy as Phoenix was last night.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, so when you call, so there's now what you can do with this phone number. It's kind of a sort of a general feedback, and we can, and it, sometimes, in fact, actually, Dame Jennifer put some requests in for Studio 33. This is one of the things you can do with it. With it, you can send a text, right, and let us know certain things, right. You can also.
It's kind of funny because when she called in for that thing called the weigh-in topic.
Yes, exactly. Which is
it flagged it as potential spam.
Yeah. Yes, that's how I got it on my phone. But I'm going. Wait a minute. She's in my contacts. How can and she's texted me before. How is anyway?
Because tech is retarded.
Well, yeah. Some and tech's been acting weird lately. A lot of things have been going weird lately. But
telling you, it's those lunar cycles, dude.
Yeah, something.
Since the eclipse, everything's kind of just been woo.
Yeah. Well. Anyway. So the other, but yeah, that's the one of the reasons we have that is, of course, the weigh-in topic, which we've called either or yay or nay. We've had other, we've done live call-in, that kind of thing, but in some, and we may do that again at some point. I don't know.
You know, that's actually a good idea for episode 200, which is just around the corner, next week.
Yeah.
We should probably do a live call-in. I think that's a Tits McGee idea.
I like this idea. Okay.
But this week we want you to call in and tell us ice cream in cold weather. Yes or no? Do you eat ice cream year-round, or are you just a summer ice cream person? Let us know. 253-237-3321.
Yeah, exactly. Which, yeah, of course, yeah, I don't know. We don't have any ice cream in the house right now, so
we probably have sorbet. Oh, okay. In all fairness, I will out myself. There is some raspberry sorbet in the freezer.
Yeah, well, it's actually pretty tasty. I've had a
taste of it. I looked at the ingredients. It is probably the cleanest hot fresh garbage you'll find.
Yeah, well, sometimes that's all you can do. But anyway, now that I think we've explained ourselves. You know, we like, you know, we're one of our spiritual shows here is actually WKRP in Cincinnati. And you know, I sometimes like to channel my inner Dr. Johnny Fever.
So just sit right down, relax, open your ears real wide and say, give it to me straight, doctor. I can take it.
Yeah, oh. But I am definitely, and we are definitely not taking this.
We don't want your shit.
Please don't send us your shit.
That's right, phone boy. I ain't taking your shit today. Tighten up your reins.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah. I'm just giving you shit. But I'm allowed to give him shit. You're allowed to give us a shit as long as it's respectful. Yeah. Don't be racist. Don't be anti-Semitic. You know what we're not going to put up with. We've talked about it 100,000 times. We'll probably do it another 100,000. But all in all, there is one thing that we need to do here.
Yeah, absolutely.
And take some advice from Mr. Leslie Nielsen.
I just want to tell you both good luck. We're all counting on you.
I think it's interesting that we use that clip because of the next story actually, which the first story, which is in our health segment, which will never ever be
brought to you by Pfizer.
Yeah, because if this actually became mainstream, well, Pfizer might be out of
definitely deficit their pocketbooks.
Yes. So, why experts are exploring ketogenic therapy for mental health.
When you eat a ketogenic diet, you're using fat primarily for energy, and the brain is using, to a large extent, ketones instead of glucose. It can't use 100% ketones, but it can use about two-thirds of its energy can come from ketones. The way we think it works is that ketones burn cleanly and more efficiently than glucose does in the brain, and so you create less oxidation, less inflammation.
Yeah, and I can tell you just from my own experience, it improved the clarity of my thought when I started down that road. Dr. Georgia Ede, who was the woman who was speaking in that clip, she figured this out a while ago. But for decades, psychiatry has focused on chemical imbalances in the brain. Growing research suggests now that overall metabolic health, how efficiently the body produces and uses energy, may play an equally important role in the mental well-being. No shit, Sherlock. It certainly worked out for me that way. So that's why scientists are now exploring, maybe real scientists, not the paid pharma shills, they're now exploring therapeutic ketosis, which is a medically supervised ketogenic diet as a potential tool for conditions ranging from depression to bipolar disorder. Oh, by the way, it'll work for diabetes, too.
I have literally been telling someone very close to me, clean up your diet. It will help with your mental situation. Over and over and over, I've said this. Eventually, this person may actually decide that they want to try this instead of going the pharma route, but who knows?
That's right. Now, so this promising approach also sheds light on how everyday food choices can influence both metabolic health and mental well-being. raising a timely question. How can we eat best to support our minds and moods? So metabolic psychiatry is an emerging field. Yeah, Dr. Georgia Ead kind of figured that out on her own and started getting into it, right? It's an emerging field. So metabolic psychiatry is an emerging field that examines how diet and inflammation affect brain energy metabolism, which in turn affects mood. Now, the brain primarily runs on glucose, but as Dr. Eat pointed out, can also use ketones as an alternative fuel when glucose is low. This is where I'll interject the word gluconeogenesis, right? You don't really need to eat really any glucose. Your body can make it, right? It's an on-demand process. So
I've had that argument with an actual doctor.
Yes, I know. So about one third of people with serious mental illnesses meet the criteria for metabolic syndrome, according to the results of one cross-sectional study highlighting the overlap between physical and mental conditions. Now, the overlap has prompted research into the underlying mechanisms, which then emerging evidence suggests that when cells lack sufficient energy or oxygen, their mitochondria can malfunction, leading to the brain inflammation and potentially affecting mental function. It also affects probably things like Alzheimer's and shit too. But anyway, a clinical trial published in the Journal of Clinical Psychiatry found that improving insulin sensitivity alone, right, reduced depressive symptoms in patients with treatment-resistant bipolar depression. And the researchers used metformin,
it's part of the fat man cocktail.
Right, that to improve insulin resistance, suggesting that targeting metabolic dysfunction may, in fact, help improve mood. And I can tell you it did for me. And you knew who I was living with back in those days. So given metabolism's role in brain function, ketogenic therapy is being explored as a potential tool. A pilot study published in Translational Psychiatry in September found that college students with major depressive disorder and already receiving treatment following a well-formulated ketogenic diet for 10 to 12 weeks was associated with approximately 70% reductions in depressive symptoms and improvement in cognition and well-being. Yes, yes, sir. In a review published in the Current Treatment Options in Psychiatry involving 2,000 people, concluded that ketogenic diets appear safe, feasible, and effective at targeting inflammation, mitochondrial dysfunction, and metabolic dysregulation. You know what else a ketogenic diet is good for? Epilepsy.
So Charlie was born March 11th, 1992, and he had a pretty normal first year. And then right around his first birthday, a little before his first birthday, I was actually pushing him in a swing one day, and he kind of threw his arm up in the air and twitched his head a little bit, and I didn't even think much of it. And I asked my wife, Nancy, I said, have you seen anything like that? And she said, yeah, I've seen a bunch of it. So that was the beginning. We started seeing neurologists. Okay. The seizures increased in intensity and in duration. He wound up having seizures in the arms of the chief of pediatric neurology at Boston Children's Hospital, Seattle Children's Hospital, UCLA, LA Children's Hospital. So we tried all the drugs that were available at the time. Charlie had a brain surgery, a horrendous brain surgery, and nothing really stopped his seizures. And we lost hope. We were basically told there is no hope. And one day after the visit, I stopped at the medical library. And as soon as I started researching pediatric epilepsy, one of the first things that came up was a ketogenic diet. And it was kind of shocking to me because what it said was that about a third of the kids with epilepsy as bad as Charlie who go on a ketogenic diet have their seizures go away. And another third are significantly improved, and for a third it doesn't work. And yet all of these folks we had taken Charlie to see never mentioned a word about diet.
Yeah. And so that was Jim Abrams, by the way. You might know him. You may not know his name necessarily, but you've probably seen Airplane. and the Naked Gun and some other stuff. Yeah, so he's so yeah, you know. So this, but you know, I think this is a timed it, and this is so the so this is Charlie Abrams we're talking about, and he and there's and he has this foundation called the Charlie Foundation, which of course is, you know, his work to you know, to try and get people thinking about this stuff differently. And I really so we've got we'll have a link to the Charlie Foundation in the show notes there, but yeah, I mean, this is so I can tell you from my own experience, and yeah, the stories like this, yeah, cleaning up your diet, maybe not eating so much sugars and grains and seed oils and shit, yeah, it can have a profound effect on you. Like I said, I can assure you it was me going through that, what allowed me to get through and get out with my ex was honestly, yeah, I was trying to get myself healthy so that I could actually, my brain would actually be able to figure out what was going on, right?
Did you mention what they would know Mr. Abrams for? I don't think you mentioned films he's responsible for.
Yes, I said Airplane, Naked Gun.
I never heard you say it.
I said it before, yes.
Oh my God, I might actually be developing a condition. I might be getting closer to being your wife after all. I'm starting to learn how to block your voice out.
Well done.
I'm sorry.
All right, speaking of bullshit, here's the next story.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of bullshit, Phoenix comes on mic. Coincidence? I think not. So, the fiber fix. What's it about?
Haven't you heard? Fiber is really good for you.
Well, fiber maxing is the new thing in nutrition. Online health influencers are adding chia seeds, beans, oats, and berries to their aesthetically pleasing meals, aiming to eat as much fiber as possible, in many cases, the entire recommended daily amount in a single meal. You know, this is interesting. This makes a lot of sense, Phoneboy, because Starfox, who I will rage about later, has recently come out with new protein-enriched cold foams. They've got like 35 grams of protein. I wonder if there could be a connection between this new health influencer bullshit and this fiber maxing thing. You know how douchey the people who go to Starbucks are.
And not all proteins created equal, just so you
truly
know. But anyway, go on.
So the article says everyone knows it's great for the gut, but fiber can also do wonders for your cholesterol levels. No shit, Sherlock. The American Heart Association has been touting that bullshit for years. Where the fuck have you been?
Oh, well, okay. By the way, there's something I found this morning. It's kind of unrelated to this. American Heart Association is the most corrupt motherfuckers, I think, in the...
I'm sorry. We knew this since, okay. The Vinny.
Yeah. Well, no. Okay. Well, this is also the changing, because this is about like changing blood pressure recommendations. They have steadily lowered it. In 1970, it was like 165 over 70 or something like that.
Oh yeah, remember that.
Yeah. Now they're saying if you're under 120 over, if 120 over 80 is like borderline now.
Yeah, and that used to be the recommended.
That was the recommended when I was still going to the damn doctor, right? That was considered good. And now they're changing. I'm like, are you people? It's like, is anybody paying attention to this shit?
Well, hold on. Remind the listeners who the first, and didn't he create the AHA?
Well, no.
Know who I'm talking about.
Well, yeah, but I mean, yeah. They're in bed with Procter & Gamble, and anyway, all these other. Anyway,
they are. But the bullshit has been ongoing since back in the time of Ansel Keys and his seven country study that actually was 21 fucking countries.
He just conveniently
forgot the other, like,
yeah, exactly,
you know, 14.
Well, and also you know, and also gamed the system and used Lent and stuff like that to, as a thing. But anyway, I think that, okay, I'm sorry I interrupted your story. If you would like to continue here.
I'm shocked to find that gambling is going on in here.
When it comes to the AHA, that's all I'm saying, you know? But, yeah, continuing on. Much in the field of nutrition is disputed, but the idea that fiber is good for the heart is backed by robust, well-established science.
And you kind of look at it, and actually, go on with the story, because I think there's a punchline that gets to that.
Okay, so the article goes on to quote several studies that admit was just based on observational data. So we can't be sure about whether fiber caused the difference in risk. But the study's findings have been backed up again and again. Yeah, because they do the same sort of observational studies again and again. But anyway. So Dr. Federica Amidi, a medical scientist and health nutritionist, currently working with wellness company Zoe, says fiber is a type of carbohydrate formed of long strings of sugar molecules. But unlike other carbs, your body can't break it down. Instead of being digested, fiber passes all the way through your gut to your large intestine, otherwise known as your colon, where your gut microbes start to break it down. Henceforth, why you get all that horrible gas and stuff when you eat a lot of fiber, but anyway. In the gut, fiber feeds beneficial microbiomes,
microbes,
excuse me. Yeah, wow, where did I get microbiomes from? In the gut, fiber feeds beneficial microbes, encourages those microbes to produce helpful compounds, and bulks up digested food so we do healthy and regular poops. That's fantastic. Wow. I could have lived my entire life without having known that. Thanks.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, I'm going to get a little personal here for just a moment. We don't eat fiber, Foam Boy, you and I.
No, not generally.
We stay away from grains and shit
that. I mean, if we get fiber, it's when we eat vegetables.
Right. But beyond that, I would say that the vying for cards are that we do, if you will, is pretty healthy and regular, would you not?
Yeah, I'd say so, yeah.
Okay, so we clearly understand that this is bullshit. Just wanted to make sure. So, if I'm understanding correctly, the fiber is actually being digested, therefore getting in your system and broken down. Anyone study how much the fiber actually impacts your blood glucose? Or did they just say it lowers LDL, therefore it's good? Seriously.
Yeah.
This is the most shitty
article. The article literally contradicts itself. It says,
horribly,
the body can't break it down. And then it says in the next sentence, it's done in your colon. These people are fucking nuts. Yeah, okay.
Full of shit and fucking nuts.
Yeah, full of shit, stupid, full of shit and fucking nuts, as Carlin says. All right. You know what's trending now? I mean, we got to go on to the next story. Yeah, Ozempic breasts. What do we know about it?
Found your boobies.
Yes. As injectable weight loss drugs are growing in popularity, people are reporting a number of unexpected changes to come from the rapid weight loss that the drugs provide. You also get that if you actually do a ketogenic diet, too. But anyway,
that is true.
You've probably heard of Ozempic face or maybe even Ozempic vulva. We'll talk about that in the next story, actually. Some women have said that they've experienced a change in their breasticles that they've nicknamed Ozempic breasts or Ozempic boobs. Now, the Ozempic breasts is an unofficial term used to refer to the change in shape, size, and elasticity that can happen to people when they lose weight quickly as a result of taking GLP-1 weight loss injections or actually doing it properly. They might feel that their breasts have sagged or are less full, but they have noticed a change to the texture of the skin. Now, one Reddit user, and we know about that. They claimed that while taking the drug, they had made her breasts look completely deflated, while the Sun columnist Claire O'Reilly recently wrote that many of her friends have had breast implant surgery after sudden weight loss due to weight loss injections change the shape and look of their boobs. Okay, so we're putting more fake things while we're injecting fake things and putting more fake things in our body. Okay.
Poison on top of poison.
There you go. So when it comes to rapid or sudden weight loss, which is one of the most appealing things about these jabs for many people, the fat in the fat stores in the body are affected first, and that can include the breasts, as the percentage of fat within your breasts can be as low as 7%, but as high as 56%. When fat is lost from breasts rapidly, they can reduce in size and change in appearance, leading to boobs that look rather different. It can also impact skin elasticity, leading to sagging or loose skin. Now, the article tells you how you can deal with this, but it doesn't mention the most obvious thing. Just say no to the Gila monster venom. I mean,
very true. That is truly the message here, is say no to the Gila monster venom. And Sir Bemrose in the chat makes a great point. He says, seriously? They're made of fat. If you lose fat, they get smaller. But you don't lose skin, so they sag. QED. Good point, Sir Bemrose. Good point.
Logic, you know, which the people that write these articles don't have. But anyway.
Yeah, you know, don't look over here. Nothing to see.
So anyway,
speaking of not looking, I had this story. The only reason I pulled this story was because I'm familiar with the doctor who is involved in this story, because Ozempic vulva is very real, according to Terry and Heather Dubrow.
She's got the pussy!
That's right. Dr. Dubrow, who, if any of you watch reality TV, you have seen, he's a plastic surgeon out in Beverly Hills. Him and his wife, Heather, are shedding light on a little-known Ozempic side effect. What do you mean, little-known? It's been all over the fucking news for weeks. Where are you at, little-known? This is funny. But anyway. In fact, the reality TV couple recently revealed they got flack from their four kids after having a jaw-dropping discussion related to the weight loss drug Ozempic. On their iHeart podcast, Between Us, we talk about stuff that's shockingly personal, Terry exclusively told E! News, told E! News's Francesca Amaker, and maybe a little TMI. Sounds a lot like the Lotus Effect, doesn't it, Phoneboy?
Yeah, it does.
Just with not as many listeners and not as much money. But anyway, his wife chimed in with, they didn't like that we were talking about Ozempic vulva. Yes, you read that right. For anyone perplexed by the unfortunate biological change affecting some taking semaglutide medications, allow the famed botched doctor to explain. When you have less fat, you have less estrogen, Terry shared. And when you have less estrogen, you maybe have less lubrication and more irritation and less volume and all sorts of things down there. However, Heather was quick to note, that's not my problem. And the rest of the article talks about their podcast. Yeah. Okay. So let's. All right. As a woman, I'm going to break this down real fast. If you're not lubricated down there, folks, they sell products for that. Okay. Men.
I've even seen ads for them on national television. I think.
Yes. And I'm going to scold any man out there who's being intimate with his woman and not concerned about her moisture level. Let's not go poking around and trying to plow the fucking earth, guys. It hurts. Make sure your woman is well lubricated before you start plowing the pussy. Thank you. Drive through.
All right. Well, the thought of that, thank you, drive through.
I just thought about that. Fuck.
All right. I'm pretty happy now. What do you think?
I'd be happy if my monitor would quit blinking.
If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands.
Fuck you! All right, so this is a great story. Because it.
Fucking Bemrose is just a bastard.
Yes. Breaking fourth wall. So tourists surprised a driver with his first ever safari buying a ticket so he could go instead of waiting in the car.
Surprise, motherfucker.
So German tourists captured the wholesome moment when they surprised their driver with his first ever safari experience. Gina Harrell was on holiday in South Africa with her friend Marina, staying at a private game reserve about 2 hours from Cape Town. Their driver had mentioned that he had never been on a safari, and the tourists decided they didn't want him to be left out. So they bought him a ticket to join them and revealed the surprise as they pulled into the parking lot at the reserve. We didn't want him waiting outside, said Gina from Stuttgart. He told us before going that he had never been on a safari in his life, and we just wanted to make him happy, the 23-year-old told SWNS News. Now, the best part of the day for him, I think, was when he saw the lions and took pictures of them. And it was a wonderful just seeing him enjoy the trip and witnessing how grateful he was. And you know what? This is a great story. First of all, I've been to Cape Town, right? And this was a little more than 10 years ago, honestly. And I've seen what it's like out there. You're driving by those shanty towns and stuff, and it's there's some real poverty out there. And you know what? I think this is one of those stories I like, because it's, you know, humans not being shitty to each other and saying, hey, you know, this is something we can do. We can make this, we can then bring some joy to this person's life. And it's something so simple, and it probably didn't even cost that much.
No, but it was a very pure of heart act. I love that.
Yes. This is, you know, when we need to, in the gratitude, I think we all need to probably express more gratitude for the things in our life, because if you want more of those things, then you should express gratitude. I think that's a pretty straightforward thing to say there. So
I do, however, like the snark and the joke that Sir Bemrose made in the chat. My first ever safari experience wasn't very good. I put down the iPhone and went back to Linux. Great tech joke.
Exactly. Well, we couldn't not cover this next story.
No, I found this and immediately was like, yep, totally on brand for us, because Americans take home the nation's first gold medal in the Cheesemonger Olympics.
Cheese, glorious cheese.
That's right. These are real folks in France, where cheese has a museum, and there's a hospital ward for foreigners who get sick eating French cheese. It's really a surprise that they have a cheesemonger Olympics. Not at all. A cheesemonger is the person who sources and sells cheese to the community. A respectable profession, says Amelia D'Albero, the first U.S. woman and the first American to boot to win gold in said Olympics. From Philly, repping the Philly there. Philly cheese. I'm having a Philly cheesesteak moment. Pats. Anyway, yeah. Fuck all you Geno fans, Pats all day. So, getting back. So, she's from Philly, the city where she learned the profession at the Philly Cheese School. Hey, there you go. D'Albero has been cheesemongering for years under the TikTok handle at Punk Rock Parmigiano. But it was her first time meddling at the Olympics, held in Tours, France. My teammate, Courtney Johnson, and I are the first all-female team USA, D'Albero told CBS News. They had never sent two girls before, beating out cheese stronghold nations like Switzerland, Spain, Italy, and of course France. D'Albero had to compete in four events: a blind tasting, the perfect cut, a cheese sculpture, and a 100-centimeter square plateau centered around a theme. Interesting. So she hopes that the heavy gold medal will bring the attention which her profession so richly deserves. In other parts of the world, like Europe, being a cheesemonger is seen as a really respected career, D'Albero said. In America, it's not as respected as it should be. It's definitely skilled labor. We have to have an encyclopedic knowledge of the cheeses in the case. While most Americans know only about as many cheeses as what goes on pizza and sandwiches, there are some amazing American cheesemakers which have also won awards for their cheeses. I think this is neat. I think it would be cool AF if, like, you can publicly go to this, like, cheesemonger Olympics. We would have so much fun.
Yeah, we would. Cheese. Yeah,
Jesus.
I mean,
my God.
Yeah, don't.
Trolls are absolutely grounded, especially the head troll today. He's being completely inappropriate.
Anyway. my best cheese experience was going to the Tillamook Creamery in Tillamook, Oregon. Quite good cheese there. The ice cream's good too. But speaking of,
Some point when we go and visit those crazy trolls up there in Washington, you know, Sideshow Bob Land. We are going to cruise through.
Oh hell yeah,
Oregon and
we'll do that drive. It's actually
do that Tillamook fine.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a drive from up there, but yeah, we can certainly do that.
You don't mind driving? How is this a problem?
No, it's not a problem. But
don't make you do the I-5 route from Washington down to California to see your family, because I'll do it. Goddamn it.
Yeah, and I probably would do it too. Because anyway, but let's.
I have done that. It is a long ass fucking trip.
I actually did do the straight shot down I-5 when I went to go see my dad when he was still alive and in Redding, which is in very northern California. It was about from where I lived to probably about 9-hour drive.
Thing. In order to do this, however, we would totes McScroats have to have, like, no joke, a week to do this. And I'll tell you why. We're totes going to Napa and Sonoma. Okay, let's just be real. If we're doing this five, like, we might vary off, but, like, yeah, we have to do wine country, which is going to be an overnight. And, I mean, we're going to totally just white privilege bouge it up.
Yeah, and yes, you do have to drive through weed to get to Redding.
I've been there.
I've been to that rest stop in Weed.
I have been to a truck stop in Weed. It was interesting.
I'll probably bring stuff with us for sure. But you know what? It's I think we're gonna get stupid. I do have some stupidity from the master of stupidity himself, Rev Cybertrucker. Here we go.
Hey ho, pedal heads, and welcome to Sir Reverend Cybertrucker's Cavalcade of Stupidity. Filmed in 1993 and enjoying a 6.9 IMDb rating, Hocus Pocus was a film about a teenage boy named Max and his little sister who moved to Salem, where Max struggles to fit in before awakening a trio of diabolical witches that were executed in the 17th century. Starring Bette Midler, Sarah Jessica Parker, and Kathy Najimy, Hocus Pocus really brought out the singing capabilities of Sarah and Kathy. The soundtrack sure has a lot of really good songs on it if you're into Halloween music, including Bette Midler's rendition of Screaming Jay Hawkins' I Put a Spell on You. From the 1993 soundtrack to the movie Hocus Pocus, this is Bette Midler, I Put a Spell on You.
I put a spell on you, and now you're mine. You can't stop the things I do. I ain't lying. Been 300 years, right down to the day. Now the witch is back, and there's hell to pay. I put a spell on you.
All right, well, anyway, so we'll play the full version of that, which isn't a whole lot longer, honestly, but we'll play that during Studio 33. It'll be interesting to see what Rev does this month. Of course, it's the month of Halloween, so maybe that's the thing he's doing. But
I'm hoping that he's going to hit us with Halloween tracks all month because he knows that I love Halloween.
This is one of my favorites. This is Halloween. All right, mm-hmm. Anyway, we're not there yet.
Wasn't that from Halloween Town?
It was the Nightmare Before. No, I don't
know. Oh no, Nightmare Before Christmas.
One of the Tim Burton movies. I don't know. Anyway,
yeah, Tim Burton.
Okay, and Danny Elfman doing the song. All right. So it's time to go to the Tales from Rightshare, though. I mean, isn't it?
Except I really didn't work this week, so there's really no tales to be had. Unfortunately, I just didn't. I was tired. I was wore out from a lot of things.
Yeah, exactly. So
I just said no.
Yeah, there was
don't
just,
need to. Not gonna. Bye.
Exactly. Sometimes that's what we need to do. But anyway, but we did have some toast and jam. That's
we definitely did.
Well, I'm a bum in the sun and I'm having fun and I know you know I got no special plans.
And a lot of you people have called in. A lot of you degenerates have called in to 253-237-3321. But if you are in the sound of my voice and you have not called in to 253-237-3321, this is one of the opportunities during the show where we remind you to do that. Now, and of course, if you hear this now and you don't get called in by the time we get through that segment, well, it might take a little while with the number of calls we have. But if by somehow you still call in, you decide to call in when we're still on the air, when we get to the last call segment, we'll play it then too, right? Otherwise.
That's right. So you have kind of two chances.
That's right. And so we can play and we can also, we also roll things over to next week. Right. And this is just a reminder that you can call into 253-237-3321. Even if you're not listening live, you can still do it. You know, Christopher Battles is out there. I know he's not in the chat because he's got a life on the weekend. So he's.
He's not like the rest of these degenerates. He actually has a life.
Yeah. So he calls in when he has his chance and he's listening to us running or something. I don't know what he's doing.
That's usually when he's putting, as he calls it, these bloviators in his ears.
That's right. Well, honey, what are you cooking tonight?
Oh, you know,
I'm making like actual food that's cooked.
We're going to Denny's?
Yeah, I wish.
No,
we're both... just having leftovers, actually.
Yeah, although we have, let's see, there's some meatloaf in there. It's actually, it's
right. Oh, yeah, that meatloaf is on 7.
Yeah, it needs to get eaten. Well, it'll get eaten.
I forgot we had it, actually, for a minute.
Yeah, well, that was one of the reasons I said leftovers is probably a good idea, because we have a couple things in the refrigerator that
Well, this is why, like, a poop loop for the segment will occur, because I'm going to make you heat your own goddamn dinner up.
Okay, fine, yes. Because I am going to eat the meatloaf, I can assure you. But
Sir Bemrose says my leftovers are better than anything at Denny's,
true,
and he's never even had my cooking, okay, but he's seen pictures.
Here's my thing about leftovers. I used to not like leftovers, but I then realized something about it. If it's not good leftover, it probably wasn't good to begin with, you know?
Well, I can tell you most of the stuff I cook is like...
It's like an orgy in my mouth, and everybody's coming.
Oh, it's an orgy, got it.
Yeah, Yeah, this is an orgy of fuckery, I think, and I think we can this topic. We talked about Starbucks, right?
Oh yeah, the epic Phoenix rant about this one. I'll be gentle. So, I'm doing my environmental science the other day, and the only thing I can think about is I'm going to treat myself once I get done with it. I'm going to run to Starbucks and I'm going to get an iced coffee just for something to do. You know, maybe a little bit of that protein foam on top, just being a little naughty. And that's the problem, all right, is because I order, all right, usually, for those who don't know, if you order a cold foam coffee, they don't put any dairy in it. They just put the cold foam on top and the cold foam kind of tendrils down and whatever. I like my coffee to actually have cream in it before you put the foam on the top. Now, I said not once, oh, but twice, stir the heavy cream in my coffee before you put the foam on top. Do you think they did? Fuck no. Which then, because, oh, this poor little 16-year-old working the window can't handle a microaggression, when all I said was they didn't fucking stir it. Oh, that was enough for Mr. fucking Skeleton Knuckles to come to the window and talk his shit to me about, well, do you want the drink or not? I said, well, I fucking paid for it. Obviously, I want it. But it's clear that you stirred it with the cold foam on top, which is expressly what I asked not to be done. I asked for it to be stirred before the cold foam was put on. And he's just not fucking understanding me. And he's being an aggressive prick to the point I'm like, after I took the coffee, because he's like, well, if you continue this, you know, we're not going to be able to serve you. And I had my enough, and I said, maybe if you didn't have a 16-year-old working your fucking window, and I peeled out. And I said, fuck Starbucks. We are not doing Starbucks anymore. But I decided, you know what? It doesn't bother me. I much prefer the coffee I make in my own kitchen, and I can assure you, it costs a lot less. But I encourage all of you to say fuck Starbucks. And also, I went to make a complaint. And do you think there's a human manning the fucking contact us? Oh, not at all. AI for the loss. Just another reason to say no to the siren.
Exactly. So, yeah. And I mean, the only reason I kind of got into Starbucks originally was because it gave me some place to be that wasn't my house. And they've changed. Starbucks has changed quite a bit in 20 years, unfortunately. And, you know, I don't really, you know, I've gone to they opened a proper Starbucks here in town. And I went in there a couple of times to work. And yeah, it just it's not the same kind of place that I like to go. And yeah, and the service has gotten shittier. So, you know, I'd rather give my money to somebody that actually, doing their thing, you know, that I actually want to send. And this is one of the things we can do as individuals. You know, we talk about, you know, how can we make a change? The one thing in any situation, we can always make a choice about who we give our money and time and attention to, right? You can make those choices. Yes, there's lots of ways you can spend your time, attention, and you know, your time, talent, and treasure. There you go.
Exactly. We need to start looking at life in the 3T model.
Yeah, the value for value model, I think, makes it so are you, you know, so what are you getting out of this? And are you enjoying it? And if you're not, then stop fucking buying it, right? We still have, you know, as many fucking things as they've fucked up, taken away from us. We still have authority over ourselves as to what choices we make, where we spend our time, where we put our talents and where we spend our treasure, right? We can all still make those choices. So
claim and use your autonomy before you lose it.
Yeah. So
and stop using fucking AI.
Yeah, I'll stop
ChatGPT.
Yeah. Well, and I also think so this is yeah, the cut. So this, yeah. And so instead, I'm probably going to give my money to Pure Coffee Club, a.k.a. Vinny Tortorich's thing. Their fucking athletic blend. Oh, my God. Like,
and if I want something local, I'll actually go over to Grinder House and grab a flat white from there. Because even though it tastes like burnt toast, I would prefer burnt toast to bullshit.
Yeah, well, at least we know there's real people. I mean, as much as
yeah,
we
that's
like,
a that's a local business.
Yeah, it doesn't have quite the vibe that we remember, but it's still,
that's why I said drive-through, sir.
Oh, that's right. It does have a drive-through.
That's the only reason I'm not parking and going in. Yeah. The vibe is just wrong. Now.
Yeah, it is.
No, but the drive-through will work just fine.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right, and so I'm going to bring up something else here. This is something that this was kind of an insight that I actually posted this like across my social media profiles. Like not even because there's a lot of a lot of what I've been kind of processing a whole lot of shit in my own life and I just kind of I kind of came to an epiphany the other night when you and I were talking about something and really it's just like we're just like why do people hurt each other, right? Why do people do things that hurt others, right? What is the motivation for it, right? And it really boils down to the fact that we've all been through trauma, right? It boils down to trauma.
Yeah, but that's not a good excuse. Just because you've been hurt, you have to hurt someone else. That's a disgusting cycle that needs to be broken.
Okay, well, that's what we're and so I'm getting to that, right? They can't. I mean, for whatever reason, they can't help it. And they were trying to make the. And I try to assume that most people have good intentions, right? Not everybody does, but for the purposes of this exercise, I think it is. It's like we can, They're so traumatized and unfortunately that's something shitty that we do to each other, right? Is we and this is how the trauma continues, right? Now, so really though, right? And I think it's important, we need to forgive each other for, the fact that we did, you did something shitty to me. I did, and I probably did something shitty to you. There's no reason to hold on to that, but here's where this is the part that matters. It's not just forgiving is not enough in my opinion, right? You actually, as part of that, you need to take no shit, to quote Larry fucking Larry, right? And that means not tolerating their hurtful behavior, whether it's from them or somebody else, right? You need to stand up and say, no, I'm not putting up with that anymore. I forgive you for the past, but I'm not tolerating this going forward. Real simple, right? I think it's
boundaries for the win.
Boundaries for the win, right? And I think this is, and I think if we all did this, right? And I think it's not just for the people that hurt us the most, but even just like the 16-year-old girl at Starbucks who didn't know what the fuck she was doing, right? But
and here's the thing. I was not blaming her. I want to be very clear about this. I did not think that the reason my coffee was fucked up was because of the girl handing it to me or working the register. She didn't make the coffee.
She took it personally is what she did.
She did. And that's one of the biggest problems that we have is that people take things personally. They don't think about it. Was like that fucking TSA agent in Orlando airport.
Exactly.
Okay. Stop taking shit personally, folks. Think about what's, where this is coming from and decide, should I take this personally or is it just whatever? Like, I don't understand why everybody has to be so up their own asses. I really don't.
Yeah, well, because and I think it really comes down to the fact that people that are avoiding the truth really don't like hearing the truth. I can certainly go back through my own history with a certain other person, and when I told her the truth, that she really hated it. but I can tell you one thing we do hate is this Online Safety Act in the UK. We talked about this last night on 2.5 Bands. And some of the stuff that's happening, basically like, the stuff that, we take it, we sort of take for granted the First Amendment here, right? That we can kind of, that we can say what we want. Although of course the people on the platform that run the platforms might have some things to say about it. Theoretically we have safety, but no, the UK government's just basically saying, if we don't like what you're saying, we can arrest you for what reason, and this is, Sir Bemrose was part of the triggering of this, by the way. So I think
yes, he was.
Yeah. So, but I think you had something else to say about it. We talked about.
I noticed someone had made a Dong post today about it, saying, if you live in either the EU or the UK, I can't remember which one
it's
it was.
It's the UK specifically.
Okay. So, saying like if you live in the UK, contact and then, put a link And, you know, if you live outside of, you know, whatever, like, go on social media. And I figured, okay, fuck social media, but we have a platform to say, look, this isn't right. Okay? No citizen should have to be monitored by their government. Period. Not knowing every... No. Like, I'm sorry. I understand that we here are under the illusion of freedom and the First Amendment, which promises, you know, the right to hope you can have freedom of speech.
Yeah, well, there's the UK's government is fucking corrupt as well. There, I mean, in other ways
well,
as
we understand
this. Yeah, there's another
but
guy.
But the point is, yeah. I'm standing up and I'm saying, don't take this shit. Okay? Get the word out that this is not okay. That we need to stop taking the shit.
Yeah, exactly. And there's another guy that in the UK that he's been fighting what boils down to a traffic ticket, right? But he's challenging the Constitution. He's gone through and is challenged basically like this was issued by an entity that does not exist in law. Which means that and they've been trying to prosecute it as if it was, and he's challenging the very constitutionality of basically this is these kind of like I call them, it's like here, it's like the traffic cameras, right? Which I got flagged a couple of times in federal way when I lived out there, and so he's gone through appeal after appeal, and they've done delay, deny, and he keeps pushing this up and saying, you know, you've got to, yeah, you're issuing something claiming it's a court that doesn't exist in law, and if it doesn't exist in the other, because the statutes are pretty clear, is the way I've been kind of feeling things, and if he's forced them into a situation where they either have to acknowledge, basically there's a no, it's a Kobayashi Maru now, because they're basically trying not to answer the question, but by not answering the question, they're answering the question, right? The fact that they're not coming right out and saying, you know, it's kind of like when somebody pleads the Fifth Amendment in one of those law shows, like, you know,
right.
You know, the practice comes to mind. I can't that show. They're not doing it. And yeah, he's been publishing all of this stuff. And I've been following this guy for, you know, probably close to 20 years at this point in other contexts. But he's been kind of, he's been pushing things. He was even doing some stuff out here in Tennessee with something about child trafficking or something.
We have a very bad problem with that here.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, if it turns out that's true, then, you know, millions of cases are basically going to get thrown out. So, you know, here's the thing, like, y'all think you can't do something. It might require some consistent, persistent effort, folks. But, you know, even, you know, like I said, you're challenging the very legal, you're challenging the constitutionality of the legal system in the UK, or at least, you know, these kinds of, you know, I'd say, you know, again, kind of like the traffic things that, yeah, if you challenge them, yeah, they won't, yeah. Yeah, they won't showed up in court, you know, or they because they won't. Yeah, because
the point is, folks, for all the rambling and stuttering Phoneboy did over that, the bottom line is stop taking the shit, start standing up and saying no, start challenging. If you know that you're right, if you've got the statutes and things to support what you're saying and what you're doing, absolutely do not back down. We cannot let the bastards win. And ultimately, every time that you hear our voices and we speak out against the things that aren't right, we are striking a blow against them.
Yeah, and at the very least, getting people to think differently. Now,
and it's funny because, like, we've been doing a lot with, I've got tomorrow, I have a case study that's due, and we are debating the EV... cars.
Yeah, we're setting up the argument anyway for
we actually have to do the whole assignment by the end of tomorrow, but
yeah, I understand.
Well, there's been some very controversial topics brought up in my philosophy class as of late, and we've been doing a bit of pushing back. And one of the things I'm prepared to do next week for the assignment due, because it's on racism, is I'm actually going to incorporate this clip I'm going to play. I'm going to put it with the assignment that I submit because it's on the subject of racism. And I think it is very succinctly put by Mr. Morgan Freeman.
We're going to get rid of racism on...
Stop talking about it. I'm going to stop calling you a white man.
Yeah.
And I'm going to ask you to stop calling me a black man. I know you as Mike Wallace. You know me as Morgan Freeman.
That's right.
And I think that's one of the best statements I've ever heard made.
And because
it's so poignant.
Yeah, and by the way, it also implies so many topics we could talk about. It's like the fact that
inequality here in East Tennessee.
Yeah.
A lot of moral and triggering subjects. I think I mentioned this last night on Ben's, but I find it appropriate to mention it again. The assignment that we just submitted was asking if anyone I knew had ever experienced capital punishment, yada, yada, yada. And I pushed back and said, that information is none of your business. Quite frankly, I think the exact quote was, I refuse to either confirm nor deny this particular piece of information, as I don't feel that the students, the instructor, or anyone else has the right to have that information. In addition, I find this question to be morally inappropriate ethically inappropriate.
Yeah, yeah. Like I said, you're asking PII, and you're no. It's like fuck. Yeah, this is again in every little way, and here's we talk about how do we change things? Well. All you have to do, you may not necessarily know that you've changed something, but if you stop and make them think about it by pushing back, right, that might cause them to go, hey, wait a minute, maybe that person's right, or it creates some doubt so that next time they encounter it, they're gonna react differently to it because it's not the first time they've heard it, right?
Yeah, because this instructor clearly does not understand that the person whom he's dealing with is a woman of almost 50 years old, not a 20 mumble girl who has not.
Yeah.
Grinded out many different aspects in the world. And yeah, I'm going to hit him with the Morgan Freeman clip, and I'm absolutely going to continue to go hard on this instructor. And the best he can do is probably continue to give full credit for these reflections because I'm making him think.
That's right. And that's all we got to do, folks. Right. I mean, again, it's a big change starts small. Right. I mean, it truly is. It's a storm starts with a couple of raindrops and it can build into something real big. So, don't think you may not see the benefits from it right away. But, you might start seeing it over time. Right. Think about how, the flu spreads or something that is, kind of contagious. It kind of goes, from person to person to person and it happens. And, it's like.
Well, it was much like the EV science question that I literally said, I refuse to answer this question and am fully prepared to take a zero.
Yeah.
That is the position more students. If you have integrity, okay. If you're a student and you don't agree with something the professor did, said, or otherwise, speak up, speak out, stand up. Do not just take this shit. I dealt with this during my speech class. I'm now dealing with it during the environmental science and philosophy portions of this degree. And I'm having a great goddamn time.
They had a great goddamn time.
Pushing back. Because if not me, if not now, who and when?
That's right. I need to get a clip of Larry saying "take no shit," which is pretty easy. I just have to pull an episode of his podcast to do that. Because I'm thinking about this, I'm going, yeah, we need to take no shit, and this is what it means to take no shit. It's pushing back on stuff that's bullshit, right?
In every aspect of our lives, from the grocery store to my professors, this, that, and the other thing.
In our interpersonal relationships, and there's now obviously
too. Do not be afraid to have conversations, even if they're not comfortable conversations, with your partner. That is one of the biggest problems I have found in observations of people, is that couples.
Well, even
tend
friends,
to be yeah, even people like, tend even to like be besties. Afraid to say to someone else, "Hey, you're fucking up," or "I'm not okay with this," or. We take it. And that's how we end up in a situation where we're forced to divorce our partner because we've taken it for so long and they've trampled on us for so long, or we've trampled on them. Okay, let's be fair. It's a give and take here. It doesn't end well. When something is the size of a grain of sand is when you need to address it, not when it becomes an Indiana Jones boulder that's about to run your ass over. And with that, I think the world needs a wake-up call.
The world needs a wake-up call. We're going to phone it in.
To 253-237-3321. Yeah. We're raising hell here on the Lewis Effect. You know what? We got a lot of voicemails. Let's start with
the fact I got a back channel response from one Tigger.
Uh-huh.
The bouncy one says ice cream has no season. It's good anytime. Thank you for that, Tigger. Appreciate the weigh-in.
Can you read the one from Mama here?
I can. She said, no ice cream in cold weather. I live on hot coffee, hot chocolate, and very rarely hot lemon tea in the winter. I can respect that. Absolutely can respect that.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, okay, so I think this one looks like, this was all stuff. Okay, this is...
That looks like a whole lot of...
Beat Us Bucks. I think that's a potential show title. I think I'll write that down. Okay, so she has some Studio 33 requests.
She threw shit at us.
Yeah.
Are you seeing this?
Yeah, she literally threw shit at us. There you go.
We've literally had shit thrown at us from a listener in the back channel in text message. Well done.
Yeah, exactly.
We appreciate that.
Yes, exactly. So yeah, if you could, yeah, you could send your shit. 253-237-3321. All right. Let's go play with the voicemail here, because we have lots of voicemails today. Let's see what this pedal head had to say, if I can actually hit the button here. There we go. And we do it like this.
Hey, I have a question for y'all. Do you consider white chocolate to be real chocolate? Yes or no? If yes, please give your reasoning on why you do believe it to be real white chocolate. Or real chocolate. Whatever, I don't know what the hell I'm saying. And if no, please give your reasons why. If you have to have a rebuttal, please go for it. Either way, is it real or is it not? The world does not want to know.
Jesus Christ.
But the pedal heads do! And Cotton Gin said, no, it is not real chocolate, because it isn't real chocolate.
It's a matter
and
of what is it made with. And that's, yeah,
no,
it's not. I know it's not.
It is not, because it's actually fat that white chocolate is made from. Is the milk fat.
That's why it tastes so good.
Oh, it's fucking delicious. I love white chocolate. Get the fuck out of here.
Okay.
Good one, Dame Bemrose. We appreciate that question. And you know what? Pedalheads, we want to hear it. If you're in the chat, or if you want to call 253-237-3321 and let us know, do you think white chocolate is real chocolate? Yes, no. Give your reasons why or why not. Hell yeah. I think we'll have a twofer here. We got two subjects for the price of one.
Well, let's see what happens. Let's see what this pedalhead has to say here.
From the front to the back, Phoenix, Burn Boy. Yeah, ice cream. No, I only eat it when it's 100 degrees plus outside, and I have to eat it outside. Anybody remember that show, Step by Step, where the cousin, whatever it was, Cody, he'd eat ice cream because he liked the brain freeze. Yeah. Of course I eat ice cream when it's cold outside. Because in some ways, not ever really thought about it, but like, you can savor it more. It's not melting as fast, depending on the condition that you're eating it in. Normally, compared to the condition you're eating in when it's, quote, cold outside. Because maybe it's just hotter inside than it is normally when you're eating it during the summer, say, because the air conditioning's on for those people that run their air conditioning, like, low temps, you know, but they're not going to be running, they're running their heater at a higher temp than their AC because, you know, whatever. And, yeah, so, uh-huh. Okay, I love you guys. Stay dangerous. And whether or not you're eating ice cream with your ear or with your mouth, give a hearty.
That was awesome.
Yeah, it was awesome. So thank you, Christopher Battles. We appreciate your call.
So wait a minute. I want to make sure I totally understand. So yes, from him, ice cream year round.
I think so. Yeah.
Okay. Just making sure. I want to make sure I had fully understood that.
All right. Well, we had some suspected spam call us, but we know it's not spam.
Ice cream in cold weather, yay or nay?
Usually I may. I mean, unless I've really got a hankering for it for some reason. But it's not something that I, like, keep in the house once it starts getting cold out. Talk to you guys later. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you, suspected spam. That is actually named Jennifer Weedo. We love her to bits. Okay, so she's like, yeah, summertime is the only time for the ice cream. That's cool. We respect that.
All right. Well, at least okay. So her stuff won't be flagged as spam anymore because I've marked it as I've marked her number as safe.
I just think that's funny. Like, fuck Google Voice for thinking she was spam.
Especially since she's called previously. Anyway, here's the next caller.
Yes, ice cream in any kind of weather. Ice cream's a wonderful thing, but hopefully, stop eating it sometime soon. When I start my diet, that would be even better. Love you guys. Bye.
Yeah, and don't get the diet. Whatever they got the keto ice cream. That first of all, that stuff tastes like shit. And second of all, it's not good for you. So let's.
Okay, back up the train, son. I've had that keto ice cream. I'm gonna battle you there. I do kind of dig me some non-dairy Ben and Jerry. They have a few flavors that are pretty fucking boss. But yeah, that is hot, fresh garbage. We should not be eating ice cream. But okay, we have another yay. Ice cream is a year-round food. Cool beans, folks. Keep them coming.
All right, let's see what this color is.
And remember, you can still weigh in 253-237-3321. Is white chocolate real chocolate? If yes, tell us why. If no, tell us why.
Yeah, that's right. And actually, I might as well, before I play the next voicemail, we actually got... We got some more messages from Dame Jennifer here. Can you please read her text right there?
Oh, she was vehement. She said, "White chocolate is not real chocolate. Neither is milk chocolate. Dark chocolate for the win."
Yeah, if you're gonna eat dark chocolate, at least 70% cacao or
70
better.
Or higher. Yeah. I think we actually have like
we have some 95.
90, yeah, it's super dark. That shit's darker than a fucking South African man.
Yeah, maybe. Anyway, so okay, let's go back. We'll go back to the voicemail here, and we're gonna play what this caller has to say.
Okay, what the hell? There is no reason to not have ice cream during any kind of weather. You want to know what we have in our freezer right now? Ice cream. Do you know what the outdoor temperature is? 60.3 degrees. What was that?
Right now, in our freezer. We have ice cream, and it's very cold weather inside the freezer.
He's right. It is very cold weather inside the freezer. You know what that means? We just invalidated your question. Uh-oh, great. Now he's got an additional thing. Son of a bitch, he's fixing the ice cream problem, probably by removing the ice cream into a warmer temperature, thus invalidating the previous invalidating statement. You know, I don't have an answer for this. Screw it.
I'm fucking dead. Thank you, Dame Bemrose. And with the addition of Sir Bemrose in the background, that's so good.
That is great. Oh my God. I think we have some weird people calling in here.
There's a lot of respect. So I'm supposed to leave a voicemail about a question. What is the question? Well, last week's question that I missed was comfort food. Go to comfort food. What is it for you? And, I've had to think on it for a while because, you know, I just console myself with, alcohol. But if I had to choose a food to fill the void, probably go with something like some meatloaf and, meatloaf or country fried steak, something like that. Something with a lot of gravy. Yeah, as my wife said, I just eat gravy. I think that would that'll fill the hole in your heart. That's why they call it comfort. As far as ice cream in cold weather, why not? Know that somebody imposed restrictions on when and where I'm allowed to fucking eat my ice cream. I like ice cream any time of year. it's gotten rather expensive for ice cream that isn't bullshit. But every once in a while, you know, we'll get a what size do we usually get? The half gallon or whatever? And we'll get a half gallon of ice cream, and everybody gets one serving in my house, and then it's gone. So, you know, there's that. Yeah. Sometimes we get a gallon, but it's just not good anymore. It doesn't melt. It doesn't taste right. I don't know. Everything seems freezer burnt, like the shit was made 20 years ago, and we're just now getting it. Tragic. What kind of ice cream do you really like? I like, my favorite, if I had to choose, would be cherry vanilla or cherry nut with the pecans in it. Pretty basic, I know, but it's good. It's really good. Basically, vanilla with maraschino cherries. And, you know, like I said, if you get calm ones, that's good too. Other than that, I'm out of time. Okay, bye.
Bye.
That was great.
Okay, that was great. Okay, so
the ice cream. That is a good question, though. Like, I think next week we should probably ask the Pella Heads, what's your favorite ice cream flavor?
Yeah, well, I'm going back to Santa Cruz and going to Mary Ann's and getting raspberry or Cascade Mountain Blackberry Swirl.
That sounds naughty.
Yes. That is, I hope they still make it. But, or we get ice cream at the Tillamook Creamery because that shit's good.
Right.
Yeah,
that's some life in the living.
Yeah, that's
there.
Some life in the living right there. So, that's what came to mind when we started talking about whatever it was. But, we have another call. Do we not? Yeah, we do.
Hey guys, Rev here. Ice cream in cold weather. Well, hell yeah, because it's ice cream. Duh. Love you guys. We'll talk at you later.
Oh, thanks, Rev. That's
that was awesome.
That was awesome, yeah.
So, and yeah, I love that. Well, hell yeah, because it's ice cream.
I mean, do you need anything? Do you need to say anything else about it?
Truly.
Unfortunately, yeah, I don't need ice cream so much anymore, but because, yeah, that's generally hot, fresh garbage. And yeah, weirdo, when you're talking about ice cream, yeah, if you're going to eat ice cream, like, eat good shit, right? And, you know, I understand, yeah, but it's just, yeah, because the stuff that they make now, it's like they've kept the price about the same, but they've reduced the quality of the ingredients, so. Yeah.
I will tell you straight the fuck up. If you want ice cream, I will make it homemade. I need to find in my unit, I have an ice cream maker for my mixer, and I love making homemade ice cream. And yes, I know we're not supposed to be eating sweet shit. I could probably create a recipe that minimizes the bad in that whole situation, but that'll be something for another time.
Yeah, exactly. So this is I think we're now done with the weigh-in segment, but if you haven't weighed in yourself, you can call 253-237-3321. And I think we're now done with that, and let's go get high.
Speaking of ice cream.
I'll take a drink, and my name's Smoke Little Reef. You know, I like to smoke reefer. You know, it relaxes me and everything. A couple of doobies, you know, just to get you through the day and everything, but I do not freebase cocaine.
That is right. We do not freebase cocaine here at Casa Lotus, but we do enjoy a little doobie doobie doo every once in a while. So, apparently, so do these parishioners in Utah, because there is a church that uses marijuana, psychedelics, and vapes as sacraments, and it is suing over police raids.
Smoke weed every day.
My God has a bigger dick than your God.
Months after Utah's ban on flavored vapes, Black House, a former Sugar House vape shop, became a sanctuary and a safe haven for those searching to get flavored cartridges for spiritual and religious practices. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. The electronic cigarettes joined other sacraments that have been at the center of religious legal challenges in the state, like psychedelic mushrooms and cannabis. But after Utah law enforcement agencies raided the Sugar House location, as well as the Salt Lake City Sanctuary in South Salt Lake in August, all of these sacraments have been put into legal question, with the Sugar Leaf Church, the institution overseeing both sanctuaries, initiating a lawsuit to keep them. Officers arrived using riot gear, AR-15s, pry bars, and battering rams forcibly entering both sanctuaries and immediately began disabling the security systems and surveillance cameras with a crossbow. Wow, that's not fucking legal at all. Holy shit. Now, this is according to the church in the lawsuit that they filed in the U.S. District Court in Salt Lake City in August. I'm sorry, y'all, but I'm still blown the fuck away. They just started fucking shooting the goddamn security cameras like fucking criminals. I'm mind blown. So during the raids, officers confiscated cannabis and psilocybin products, which the church called sacramental property, as well as thousands of flavored vape cartridges, blank checkbooks, waivers, clergy rosters, cash donations, tablets, and membership records. The church is asking a judge to order law enforcement to stop interfering with members' free exercise of religion and to award compensatory damages. The institution is also asking the South Salt Lake City Police Department and the Utah State Bureau of Investigations to undergo mandatory religious sensitivity training and for the immediate return of the property. At Salt Lake City Sanctuary, the agents seized 4.24 kilograms of packaged Mary Jane flower, over a kilogram of fresh flower. That's a tongue twister. 956 1-gram pre-rolled joints, 8 display jars of flower, 152.5 grams of psilocybin mushrooms, mushroom gummies, and sample packs, numerous edibles with THC and rolling papers. And this is all according to a motion to dismiss filed by the Salt Lake County District Attorney's Office.
I want to go be a member of that
church. No fucking kidding, dude. I'm like, hey, you taking new members? So at Black House, officers confiscated significant quantities of raw marijuana, psilocybin mushrooms, THC vapes, cookies, gummies, candies, syrups, oils, and similar products. Psilocybin cookies, gummies, wow, they like totally repeated it. No joke. So I'm giving you verbatim here. Gummies, candies, syrups, oils, and similar products. Psilocybin cookies, gummies, and similar products. And over 3,000 flavored vape cartridges and order receipts, according to the district attorney's office, which it filed in its motion. First and foremost, let me make sure that I understand this. Pause for a moment. Utah does not have legal psilocybin, legal marijuana. I'm right.
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. I understand the separation of church and state. However, you can't do illegal shit and call it religious, you fucking idiots. Are you joking? I mean, I know we're making the joke about, hey, you're taking new members, but this stuff is not legal in your state. Now, do I think that they really crossed a line by crossbowing the fucking security shit? Yeah, I'm blown away by that. I think that right there could possibly be the difference between them winning and losing this case. I think that fuck up right there, and I think they really need to put a shining light on that. That was some vigilante criminal bullshit by doing... What fucking cops do that other than these Utah pricks? I'm completely gobsmacked over that fact. I'm not sure how I feel about this story, because on one hand, it's like, the shit's illegal federally and in your state. But what the cops did was really kind of fucking not even metal, dude. It was just vigilante all day long. I'm torn.
Yeah. So the story, there's more things in the story about the fact of how they're sort of addressing the legal issue, because they are challenging it in court, and there's a case in there to be made that it should be legal. But in any case, that's...
Yes, of course there's a case to be made that marijuana should just all out... Again, you should be able to grow it like a tomato. I don't care where you live in the 50.
Yeah.
Okay, bottom line, should be able to be grown like a tomato. No regulation, nah. Okay, this is where we need to self-govern ourselves. If you're growing that shit, okay, have it under lock and fucking key. Don't let it be where kids can get at it. And if it can be traced back that you provided an underage person with it, then yeah, you should definitely have some prosecution for the fact that much like alcohol, which I know is regulated, but let's use our heads, folks. Keep the weed away from the kids. Till you're 18, stay away from it. I'm just saying.
Yeah, exactly. Well, all right. So we have the next story. This is going to sound really weird. The cannabis that cheats death. What do frogs have to do with fresh frozen weed?
It's not that easy being green.
Goddamn too high, high, goddamn too high, goddamn too high.
You have to wonder why Miss Piggy liked Kermit and licking him and getting damn high. Anyway, if Sir David...
Oh my God! This show just took a very... Now we're going to have an explicit tag.
We already have an explicit tag, honey.
Oh, then carry on.
Yes, exactly. Okay, so if Sir David Attenborough narrated a Weed segment, this is where he'd pause for dramatic effect. Because what this frog does naturally, freezing its body to survive, isn't just the stuff of nature documentaries. It's also the inspiration behind one of cannabis's most exciting extraction innovations, fresh frozen weed. And just like our icy amphibian friend, fresh frozen cannabis suspends itself in time. It locks in all the flavor, aroma, and potency of the living plant, delivering an experience that's vivid, lively, and intensely real. But fresh frozen refers to the cannabis that's been cut and frozen immediately after harvest, before drying, curing, or trimming. Growers typically use dry ice or industrial freezers to chill entire plants, often skipping weeks of post-harvest processing. The frozen plants are later turned into concentrates like live resin and live rosin, known for being rich in terpenes and flavor-forward. Unlike...
Okay, that answered the question that I... You saw me reaching for my mute button, and then I stopped and I let you go, because I was literally having the thought in my mind, marijuana is a plant. Plants contain water. What happens when you freeze plant material?
Yeah.
It gets soggy.
Yes.
Gets waterlogged.
Mm-hmm.
So I was waiting, because I knew that you were not smoking this like you would the dried flower. Please continue.
The result? A cold, golden sap that retains the true essence of the living plant. Terpenes, cannabinoids, flavonoids, and all. It's not just high tech, it's high terp. I mean,
this sound. I want to get a hold of some of this frozen ganja rosin and resin. Like, holy shit.
Yes.
This would be some fire. I would love to product test that.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're all product testing, I guess. But I think we're all, well, some of us are product testing, and not people that listen to this show, maybe, but product testing the next thing. But I think we have to change segments in order to get to that story, don't we?
Probably. So we probably should turn it on and off again here.
Hello, IT. Have you tried turning it off and on again? Have you tried sticking it up your arse?
Oh, this is probably going to trigger some people. I know it definitely triggered me when I heard about it. Economic boom or environmental disaster? Rural Texas grapples with pros and cons of data centers. Kendra K. loved growing up in the quiet of West Texas. She enjoyed the peacefulness brought in by the open lands. She appreciated how everyone in her community had a purpose and contributed to their way of life. She never wanted the busy noise that came with living in a bustling big city. That's why we live here, Kay, an Amarillo resident, said. Now, Kay and others who've chosen the simpler life are worried that the emerging data center industry that has set its eyes on towns across the Panhandle and rural Texas might upend that agrarian bliss. Data centers have been around since the 1940s, housing technology infrastructure that runs computer applications, internet servers, and stores the data that comes from them. More recently, data centers are powering artificial intelligence and other internet juggernauts like Google, Amazon, and Meta. These newer, sprawling data centers have been sold to communities as a boon to their economic development. Rural Texas has become a prized spot for the businesses rushing into the state. Virginia is the only state with more data centers than Texas, which has 391. While most are concentrated in North Texas and other major metro areas, they are increasingly being planned in rural areas. Affordable property rates, wide open spaces, and welcoming local officials have made remote areas attractive. However, the people who live in those areas have grown worried about what incoming centers, which can sit on thousands of acres of land, mean for their land, home, and especially their limited water supply, henceforth why I had that opening clip. From the Panhandle to the Rio Grande Valley, Texas's water supply is limited. The strain is particularly acute in rural West Texas and other areas of the state that face regular drought. Data centers, especially those used for AI, can use an extraordinary amount of water. The state does not yet require most data centers to report their water usage. Yeah, they'd probably fucking lie about it anyway because of how huge it is. So with this new big data center coming to the state regularly, there are unanswered questions of where the data centers will get the water they need to stay cool. How about you just fucking don't? But anyway, the concern already exists in the Texas Panhandle, where droughts are common and groundwater supply is declining. There are 4 data centers planned for the region, including Amarillo, Turkey, Pampa, and Claude. Outside the Panhandle is no different, as AI campuses are expanding in the Permian Basin, and 30 data centers are planned for Sulphur Springs, a small town in East Texas. 30 of them? Holy shit.
Yeah, no kidding.
Now, those plans have residents just as worried, and for good reason. The article goes on for a while about how citizens are pushing back on this, given they were having drought issues before the data centers came. And one eye-opening statistic from the article is from a data center that is being built 35 miles north of Carson City for Fermi America, a company co-founded by former U.S. Energy Secretary and Texas Governor Rick Perry. So they're looking to initially obtain 2.5 million gallons a day from Carson City, with talks that it could go up to 10 million gallons a day. Now, for context, Carson City uses 50 million gallons a day. So they're looking at a fifth of their water at the top amount that they're hoping to be using. That's just disgusting. You don't think AI has an impact, folks? Right there. Big impact. Huge.
Yeah, and yet our environmental science class doesn't talk about any of this stuff, right?
No.
Nobody talks about it.
They have fucking AI in their book.
Yeah, nobody is talking about the environmental impact of AI. I mean, you know, nobody in the mainstream, certainly, because, and hell, even, you know, so for Google to come out and say, yeah, we're climate friendly, no, you're fucking not. I mean, seriously.
No, not even a little bit, especially with
fucking
this.
Electric vehicles, AI, the most inefficient, just burn the fucking earth to the ground, these fucking companies. Guess what? There's a reason we don't like these fuckers. All right.
Exactly, and we don't pretend to.
Yes. No. Here's another company I don't like, even though we now have our podcast listed on them. Spotify. They're taking steps to address its AI slop and clone problem.
I think I'm a clone now. There's always two of me just hanging around.
Yeah. Now, as AI music generators like Suno and Udio make it easy to churn out passable music, streamers like Spotify are getting flooded with AI-generated content, leaving audiences and artists alike to wonder, what is real music anymore? Now, on Thursday, Spotify announced new policies that attempt to tamp down on 3 problems the platform has with AI: slop, impersonation, and disclosing whether AI was used to create the music. Well, yeah, how do we know that they're accurately disclosing whether they use AI to create the music? But now, the goal of the company's efforts is to protect authentic artists from spam and impersonation and deception, and make sure listeners don't feel duped. Now, Spotify's global head of music product, Charlie Hellman, told reporters at a press briefing about the announcement. At the same time, he said that Spotify wants to let artists use AI if they want. Now, Spotify is working with the music standards industry organization, DDEX, to develop a new metadata standard for disclosing the use of AI in any part of a song creation. This includes using AI to create the sounds that end up in the track, like vocals and instruments, as well as using AI as an assistant during mixing and mastering the track itself, among other steps, Sam Dubruff, head of marketing and policy, said to reporters. The platform also upped its response to impersonation, which defines as using another artist's voice, real or faked, without their permission, and which covers unauthorized AI voice clones, deepfakes, and any other form of vocal replicas or impersonation. Now, I don't think it's going to make any fucking difference whatsoever about this, but I do want to talk a little bit about using AI to create art for a second, because I think
and I agree. I what you're about to say, I have a feeling I know, but I want to add in real quick before you have that rant. if you are using AI to create your music, your content, whatever, you're not a creator. Okay? Seriously. You should not. I recently actually took a stand and made a comment on an AI creation video from YouTube. And, you know, I'm getting so tired of these obviously AI created videos where they're like, oh, please support us. Please send us money. Try doing some actual real work, not just typing a couple of prompts in and letting a fucking computer do your work. And then you think you should get paid for it. Get the fuck right out of here.
Yeah, exactly. Which, yeah, there's a reason that the U.S. copyright law says if it's generated by AI, it's not copyrightable. And I think that I think that's probably the best position to take in all of that. But honestly, yeah, there's no soul behind AI generated art. And honestly, that's part of why artists generate art is it's an expression of something from their soul, right? The good ones do anyway. That's, you know, there's a reason I used No Quarter as the last song. It's been a song that's been running through my head, right? For
you should have let it run away.
Yeah, well, come on, it's a good song.
But if you're fucking on some heavy drugs.
Yeah, well, I'm sure they were some back in 1973. I can assure you all those motherfuckers were on some heavy
drugs. Dude, to tolerate that song, you had to be on some fucking heavy shit that even Keith Richards would be like, man, that's a little too much for me, man.
Jesus Christ.
Seriously, though, like.
But there's something. But look, one man's art is another man's treasure or something, or trash or something. I don't know. But I mean, the point is.
AI is trash, period.
Yeah.
And if you're making content with it, your content is trash.
Yeah. Now, there are some folks that actually, you know, again, it can be used in certain contexts. You know, the guy I was talking about in the UK that was that's fighting the courts in there. He used multiple AIs to sort of construct some of the stuff he's working through and going through the courts and having stuff cross-referenced and actually checking everything.
I was going to say, did he make sure to cross-reference the AI that it wasn't hallucinating?
Yes, that's why he fed things through multiple AIs and it kind of and he checked
here's
everything
the thing.
To make sure.
Here's the thing: I can understand him doing that, okay, because it's helping him to prove his case. As long as what the AI is pulling is accurate, okay. He's not trying to financially benefit from the use of it. There's the big difference.
Well, yeah, and he's trying to get to, you know, trying to get to the truth, and let's face it, there's lots of court stuff to have to look through, and that's, you know, if you train an AI on a specific data set, yeah, you'll probably get some acceptable results. But talking to ChatGPT, which has been trained on random shit people see on the internet, yeah, maybe that's not such a good thing to be using. But hey, that's just me. So, but in terms of art, right, there's, you know, when those AI generated videos and podcasts and stuff, you know, we talk about the lack of inflections and weird stutter stops and that kind of thing, right?
Well,
but again, the energy that goes behind it, right? When you can feel the energy that comes with certain art. But in AI stuff, it's just like I'm looking at nothing. You know, it's just nothing. I don't know. I mean, that's how I see it. Because again, whether or not you like a certain song, you know, that has been, you know, when we go back to, I don't know, art, you know, the kind of music that we tend to play in Studio 33, a lot of it, there's something behind it, right? And you can kind of, even if it's not your thing or whatever, there's energy that comes with it. When AI generates stuff, there's no energy. It's flat. It's just garbage. It's not art. It's not created by a human. That's all I got to say about that. So,
are you sure?
Give me 5 minutes. I'll come up with something.
No fucking joke, dude. Like, I was waiting for you to take a breath and it just wasn't happening. Yeah. And I mean, I'm no matter what quote art you are claiming or purporting to be creating, if you're not doing it yourself, if you're using AI, you're not an artist. That's just the bottom line. And I will debate anyone on that subject who wants to, because it's very simple that if we keep letting AI create everything, and, you know, Sir Bemrose had posted a great link to a TikTok video. I know TikTok gross, but play along, folks. It was two AIs having a conversation with each other. And it wasn't the YouTube video you sent where they started speaking gibberish. It was actually two AIs that literally were almost saying the exact same thing. It was a circular conversation that made me laugh harder than it should have. Because truly, that's what you get with AI, is the same basic thing over and over. And to have these two saying the same thing to each other was so funny, because it was just so mockingbird. I don't know. I hope he'll post it again, because it had me cracking up to watch these two. And I think also we need to post the YouTube video that has the AIs that when one realizes it's talking to another, they start talking this language that we have pretty much ascertained, if you've watched any of the older spy movies, this, that, and the other thing, it's just a scrambler, ultimately. It's not like some secret language, I don't think. I think it's literally just a scrambler over the conversation, so it sounds like they're underwater and stuff like that, but I digress. Time to rummage through the junk drawer, I think.
Humanity was incapable of solving even its most basic problems, like garbage, which had been stacked for centuries.
Well, this'll shock y'all, I'm sure. Your leftovers can be shocked into making fuel, and scientists just proved it.
Marty! You've got to come back with me! Where? Back to the future!
From the Back to the Future department, a new study published in the Journal of Environmental Chemical Engineering shows that even discarded and fermenting food can produce useful chemicals like acetone, ethanol, and hydrogen. And if you give that bacteria-infused food waste slurry a zap, a process known as electrofermentation, the yields are even more plentiful. We are creating an industry from another industry's waste, Benicia Saba, lead author of the study from The Ohio State University, said in a press release. We're making use of waste that a contractor charges businesses to take to a landfill where it produces methane gas. We're suggesting that industries can put up a simple bioreactor in which they can produce other important byproducts. The best kind of food waste is the kind that's never discarded in the first place. The authors cite that the U.S. alone discards 60 million tons of food waste annually, which is almost 40% of the U.S.'s entire food supply. Yeah, because instead of giving it to fucking people who are hungry, you know, restaurants have to throw it out because, woo, we have such, you know, laws that don't allow you to actually fucking feed people. So, in a slowly warming world where agricultural production is being pushed to its limits and 18 million households in the U.S. experience food insecurity as of 2023, all of this food would ideally find its way to needy plates. But the fact is, it doesn't. It's not the only piece of bad news, however. Once the discarded food makes its way to the trash heap, it has the unfortunate habit of producing methane, a greenhouse gas that's 28 times more potent than carbon dioxide when it comes to trapping heat in the atmosphere. According to the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, 58% of methane in municipal landfills comes from food waste, and this resource mismanagement is the cause of a full 11% of greenhouse gas emissions worldwide.
Okay, so... oh, my God.
I'm so nauseated by that story, yeah, but
here's
I think it is a step in the right direction. If we can take the food waste and turn it into a fuel where we can... not be as reliant.
Or fucking compost shit.
Yeah, this is why when we have our
homestead,
we're going to have a gigantic fucking compost pile. It's going to be fantastic.
Exactly. So, but I'm looking at this and I'm going, okay, the whole argument about methane, and this is why they claim cow farts is bad, is that they think it actually like goes all the way up in the atmosphere. I don't think it actually does.
So, okay, all right, hold on. All right. Here's something that people don't realize is that methane dissipates at a much higher rate than they are purporting.
Yes, and especially if it's generated naturally through natural processes like cow farts or, you know, vegetables rotting. Because here's the thing. This is where people need to have a fucking brain and go, okay, before we had industrialized things, there's been shit growing all over the place. Before even humans were around, shit was probably growing, rotting, dying, and the earth didn't die. So, like, why is this any different? Like, come on, folks. Wake up.
Yeah. And Sir Bemrill's, again, scientist extraordinaire. Methane oxidizes into CO2 and H2O pretty much the moment it mixes in the atmosphere with oxygen.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Because the sun is a massive incandescent gas. I'm going to play that in studio.
Giant.
Yeah, that's right.
Nuclear furnace.
That's right. So now I think,
from the No Shit Sherlock department.
Exactly. Trusted media among Americans hits a record low.
Oh, you don't have no authority over me, bitch.
Yeah. I'm surprised it's this high, honestly. Just 28% of adults told Gallup that they have a great deal of or fair amount of trust in the media.
That's... Hold on. It's just 28% that told Gallup. The other 72% there, you know, they didn't say shit.
Well, that's a decline from 31% in 2024, 32% in 2023. Wait a minute, and then 40% in 2020. And when did it get to 33? That's what I want to know. Probably sometime.
Did you notice they eloquently skipped the 33 because they're getting, you know, they're on to the bullshit.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yes, but it probably got to 33% by somewhere during the Biden administration, because it was 40% in 2020 and a peak of 72% in 1976 when the movie Network with Peter Finch was a thing, right? Shortly after the Gallup first started acting about trust in the media in 1972. They've only been...
Okay, so they pretty much knew back then that it was a bunch of bullshit, and it's just been declining ever since?
That's right. In the latest survey carried out on September 2nd to 26th, 8% of respondents said that they have a great deal of confidence in mass media, such as newspapers and television, to report the news fully, accurately, and fairly.
Why are they fucking buffled load?
Yeah, 20%... Yeah, it's funny because I remember having a conversation with my ex, who's very bought in on things. Even she's kind of looking at some of the stories that they were layering on the local news and going, you know what? I have experience with that. And these people are full of shit. Well, you know, it doesn't take much to go, well, hey, if they're full of shit about this, what else are they full of shit about? Well, it turns out all of it. But anyway, 20% said they have a fair amount of confidence. 36% of respondents say they have not very much confidence. And 34% said they have none at all. When divided by party affiliation, it's Republicans who are the most likely to say they do not have confidence in the media. 62% of Republican respondents said they have no confidence, and 30% said they have little confidence.
Oh, I love the way they went after the motherfucking Republicans. Are you noticing the bias in this?
It's coming from the press. Do you expect anything less, honey?
Carry on.
Yeah, so carry on. So the just 5% expressed a fair amount of confidence in the press, with the remaining 3% expressing a great deal of confidence. Well, there's buy-in on both sides. Among independents, 7% said they have a great deal of trust in the media, 21% said they have a fair amount of trust, and 38% said they have not very much trust. 32% said none at all, and 2% said they did not know. Now, most Democrats...
Wait a minute. How the fuck do you not know? That's such a cop-out.
Yes. Most Democrats, 51%, have a great deal or a fair amount of confidence in the media. That's part of the problem. While that was a majority of Democrat respondents, it's also a tie for the record low among Democrats. 39% said they have little trust, 9% said they have no trust, and 1% said they were not sure. Now, older adults were more likely to express trust in the media, because they remember the days of Walter Cronkite. 37% of adults age 55 and older said that they have a great deal or a fair amount of trust in the media, compared to 21% of people aged 35 to 54 and 24% of younger adults. Now, the survey from September was conducted over the telephone with adults living in all 50 states in the District of Columbia. The results are based on a random sample of 1,000 respondents. The margin of sampling error was plus or minus 4%.
I find that amusing when they're talking about the 1% and 2% that said they didn't know, but the margin of error was plus or minus 4%. Does that mean that technically, they're lying and it's negative numbers?
Possibly. I don't know. But anyway, but I think we're, it's time. Is it time for the last call? I think we finally got there.
You know, I think we finally did. And I think it is.
No, I'm not done yet.
Oh God.
Yeah. We don't have any voicemails, but we have one last call story.
Yeah. And I'm going to try to get through this one without tearing up. So here we go. I want to turn the whole thing upside down. Jane Goodall, renowned chimpanzee researcher and animal advocate, has died at the age of 91. She was a renowned researcher who documented the behavior and social lives of chimpanzees and later became a leader of the animal conservation movement. She passed away on Wednesday. She was 91, dying of natural causes while she was in California as part of a speaking tour. This woman was fucking doing what she loved up until the moment. How great is that? Now, this, was, of course, announced by the Jane Goodall Institute. Dr. Goodall's discoveries as an ethologist revolutionized science, and she was a tireless advocate for the protection and restoration of our natural world.
Yeah. She was one of the good ones, folks.
I cried so hard when I heard that. Oh, my God.
Yeah, well, yes, but, you know, she did good.
Not fair.
Yeah, well.
You know, there's so much shit in the world. She was a shining light.
Well, that's why we got to pick up the mantle. You know what? But
That's right.
All right. All right. We're done with this.
Well, that's about it, really.
What?
Shirley, you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Fuck it. I gotta go.
Yeah, we gotta go. And we're
gonna do Studio 33.
That's right. And you know what?
I'm so fucking over this.
It is time for this to be over.
I got an idea to end all this bullshit.
Jordan fades back. Swoosh. And that's the game.
Fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck you. You're cool. And fuck you. I'm out.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.